I'll give you time. Well, I need the Lord's help. Don't you? Huh? You believe God can still do it? I'll say this honestly. People accuse me through the years. I'd get up. They say that he badmouths himself to get sympathy, so get the crowd on his side. Well, if a feller got up and lied, he'd get God off his side, wouldn't he? Huh? But I'm going to say this. I started to say reach me a Bible, but that's what this is. Y'all help me here just a minute. But I wish I was more sensitive to God. I wish I could be used of God and God could, but when praying for Sister Marilyn and through the years, there's a phrase that just gently blows through my spirit. And I wish I could explain to you. I wish I knew the words and was deep enough to tell you that it was the voice of God every time. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it to you. I take it as God. It's a little voice that is just out of nowhere. I just hear it. I mean, I just hear it inside of me. Anybody know what? Y'all looking at me like, now, y'all are discouraging me from even telling you the rest of the story now. But it's happened to me several times. And I was away from home, and Sister Marilyn was in the hospital. It's tough. And I was in a motel, and I walked to the balcony outside. When I got the news and was going out there to pray for or to open myself up to God and see what was going on. And those words came through my spirit. I wasn't thinking about it. I hadn't heard it in a while. But I heard it. Here it come. I didn't know if it was a verse. I don't know. I didn't know where it come from, Brother Zane. And I know Sister Marilyn had to be discouraged. I called her maybe that day or a little later on, and I told her, I said, I know it looks bad, and I know we're in trouble, and I know my faith is shot, but this is what I heard again today. I heard the Lord, that little old wind blow through my soul and say, what I have promised, I am able to perform. Well, let me read it to you. I found it this morning. Romans chapter 4 is not my text. I just felt like telling you this. I'll just read it the way the Bible says it. How many already knows it's in there? Huh? It says, what verse is it, Sister Marilyn? Remember? Oh, yeah. Let's read verse 18. Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Be not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. He was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through faith, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. How many of us believe the promise and we're waiting on the performance? Can you say amen? Y'all ain't getting it. So I'll go to my text in 1 Kings chapter 19. Praise God. Who else has been sick this week? I know some. There were other. We got a lot of praying to do, don't we? Y'all want me to hurry? Here we go. Ahab told Jezebel. Let's not read this part of it right now. Let me read on over. And verse 4, talking about Elijah. How many remembers the verse in James that said Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we? Huh? Well, that interests me about Elijah, a man of like passion as we. Sometimes we look at us and our passions, and we don't have a lot of confidence in ourselves. Huh? But he was a man subject to like passions as we, and he prayed, and it rained not. Is that what the Bible said? What the Bible was saying was he was a man like you, and he got a prayer through. Now, this story is about Elijah, and it is a very typifying story. If you want one that mirrors the church and you, Elijah's life, amen, has a lot of similarities. Amen. He himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came and he sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. Now, when you despair of life, you're in a valley. Here's Elijah, the man of God, the same Elijah of Mount Carmel, the same Elijah that, praise God, had defeated the prophets of Baal. But now he's gone a day's journey, sitting on a juniper tree, praying that God would let him die. He said, "It is enough." How many of you tonight have said in your heart, "I can't take any more"? It's enough. I'm maxed out. I'm overloaded. The red line. It's it. I can't take any more. It is enough. Lord, take away my life. I am no better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals. I think this is very interesting. And a cruse of water at his head. He had eat and drink, and he laid down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." He arose and he did eat and drink, and he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights in the Horeb, the mount of God. Hallelujah. I want to preach from this tonight. I don't know if I title it or not. Maybe I'll title it, "The Journey is Too Great for Thee." You ever think sometimes that God has asked you to do a task that's impossible? Huh? You're at point A and you've got to get to point B and you are in this condition. You're depressed. You're discouraged. You're defeated. You want to die. But God says, I want you over there. Yeah. And you say, I can't. There's not enough of me. There's not enough left of me. It's enough. Amen. But God Almighty, amen, I love the fact that God is interested in us. Now, God could have looked at Elijah and granted his request, but God loves people. And God loved Elijah. He was one of his favorites, the apple of his eye. Brother, he preached it when nobody else would. And God hasn't forgot where Elijah is. Oh, when Elijah got discouraged and disappointed, and you know, I could read you the beginning of the story. Do you know what put the fear of God in him or the fear in him? Jezebel. Jezebel put the fear in him because she vowed and sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. 24 hours, buddy, hey man, you gonna get it. Jezebel, she was fumed and fussed and, hey man, how many knows that Jez is gonna have to get a little tougher than that? How many know she still ain't got Elijah? Come on now. Oh, the devil can howl and bark and boast, and he can scare you up. Brother Zane, he's told me I'm going to get you. And I thought, you surely will. It's a wonder you hadn't already. Huh? But how many knows he can't get you? Jesus said, that there is nothing, no one can pluck you out of my Father's hand. And then he went on and said, no one can pluck you out of my hand. Praise God. I wish somebody helped me preach a little. Hey, man, I want to talk to you about this. Hey, man, you see, God, the angel of the Lord told Elijah, amen, who was lying down. I don't know why he was laying. I guess he was mentally exhausted. You ever get that on you and get mentally exhausted and all you want to do is just curl up somewhere and just sleep? Depression settles in. Now, come on, this is a positive message. Y'all look like I'm getting ready to pass out some kind of tranquilizers here or something. This is not a negative message. This is a positive message. But before I get into the positive note, I want you to know that sometimes in the course of life, amen, we can go from Mount Carmel to the juniper tree in just a short while. Amen. And it looks like our journey is too great for us. Brother, come on now. Sometimes I can survey in my own life, and there's no need of going into that. But brother, Paul said it like this. Hey man, he said, I've been shipwrecked. I've been stoned and left for dead. I've been jumped on at Ephesus by the beast at Ephesus. And he said, and if this wasn't enough, hey man, I've got the care of all the churches. Amen, upon me. Yeah, if I was a hireling, hey man, then it wouldn't matter. Amen, but I'm not a hireling. I've been called of God. And when you hurt, I hurt. Are you listening to me? When your loved ones are backslid, I hurt with you. Are you listening? There's been times that I've looked around. You're not helping me preach. Amen. But I've looked around at situations, yours and ours and mine, and I've said, this is too much for us. We can't get the job done. There's not enough of us. Our arm is too short. Our mentality is too weak. Our energy is too little. Amen. And that's what the angel said, amen, to Elijah. You can't get there. You've got to go to Mount Horeb, the Mount of God. Amen. And that's what God wants you to do. But you have got to have something to get there. Woo, woo, woo. Oh, let me preach a little bit. I'm feeling like preaching to you tonight. You see, Elijah got discouraged. I'm going to take my time. Y'all in a hurry? Have you got your bologna in the fridge? It'll keep. Here we go. He saw what Jezebel had said. How many knows there's a spirit in this world that is opposed to the church? Revelation called it Jezebel. You know, Jezebel, we know her because she was the first woman we ever read of that painted her face. That ought to be reason enough for no one ever to do it again. I'm waiting on amens here. Oh, don't let me wait all night. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, she probably put the green on the lids. Huh? Probably put the green on the lids and she rouged it up and mascared it and pushed it and probably put some little doodles out here like this and probably painted her lips rosy candy apple red and you know and she probably and the Bible says she teared her head, she put jewels and stuff in that hair and had that hair just out here and probably some of these big load levelers in there. Yeah, and they were shining. Come on now. And she walked to the window. She walked to the window and she hollered, Jehu. And you know, there was something about her. She was thinking that, and you know, and the world, that's why the world wears that stuff. That is why they wear it, is to get someone to quit looking where they're looking and look where they are. That's why they do it. Isn't that why they do it? Huh? That's why folks dress up these automobiles and put them big old chrome, and the Black Brothers really can do that, can't they? Huh? They put them gold-colored fender well trims on them babies. I mean, put them low down, put them neon lights under the body of them, and they're so proud of them machines. I've seen some of them turn the dome light on in the middle of the night so you can see the interior of that thing. Huh? Well, I don't know. That may be all right for a car, but not a face. Huh? But what they're saying is, ooga, ooga, look at me. Right? I thought while I was on this, I'd go ahead and twist on this a little bit since I'm here. But I'm going to tell you, that spirit, and it's not just trinkets and paint and stuff like that. What was the heart? What was Jezebel trying to do? She was trying to seduce the man of God. And the purpose of her seducing him was to keep him from his mission. And how many knows what his mission was? Huh? Y'all read your Bible? His mission was, amen, he came to, and he hollered up there, and I'm going to get back to my message in a minute. But Elijah, Jehu hollered up to Jezebel and said, who up there is on the Lord's side? And how many knows there were some on the Lord's side? The Bible called them eunuchs. And what that means, if you want to look that up, that was a man that was not attracted to women. Now that sounds, well, that's just the way it was. That's why those men were in Jezebel's chamber. The king would trust them because they were eunuchs. Now I know you think, well, why are we going into this? Well, I'm getting ready to tell you why. That's why they throwed her out. Her seductive powers had no power over them. It didn't faze them. They didn't want her. So she did have no appeal. So when they said, who's on the Lord's side? Put your foot right in here, Dad. Oh, out the window she went. You say, that's cruel. It is cruel. But I'm going to tell you, hell is cruel. Are you listening? Over she went. That's what the man of God, Elijah, are you listening to me? That's what Elijah had already prophesied. It was that woman, that seducing woman. I want to tell you, we have that spirit right in our land today. That seducing, shining, glittering Jezebel spirit. Amen. God told them, I have somewhat against you because you have allowed that woman Jezebel to teach and seduce my prophets. Amen. Are you listening to me preach? Amen. So we are opposing a spirit in this hour that is directly opposed to God, that hates you for living clean. Amen. Are you listening to me preach? Amen. And that's the spirit that it caused Elijah to shrink down. Amen. And take a step back. Amen. And God's wanting
wanting to know who is on the Lord's side tonight. And brother, when this spirit came upon, I want to tell you, it's just like some of you teenagers here. When you get out there in the world and they put that pressure on you, they want you to look that way and do that way and look at what they're looking at. And you can't enjoy church anymore. You don't enjoy your youth anymore. You're looking over the fence to get involved in something. I'm telling you, that's the spirit that drove Elijah under the juniper tree. Amen. Are you listening to me? But church, it may look impossible. The way may look too great. It may look like we can't get it done. It may look like our children are going to die and go whirly. Are you listening to me? But it don't have to be. And I'm going to tell you why it don't have to be. Because there's a God in heaven, and He intends for His church to keep on going.
Hallelujah. Oh, stay with me now. I love to preach tonight. Hallelujah. Elijah went a day's journey into the wilderness. He left his servant at Beersheba, and he went a day's journey in the wilderness. He isolated himself. Oh, the devil loves to do that. He loves to single you out, isolate you. The wolf, Sister Lois, pulls the one that's lagging alone, is the one they go and tear down. I feel the Holy Ghost. I remember when I was first got saved, I got out of work, and I got a job on the second shift. This was the first. I hadn't been saved just a couple of months. That's the way it works sometimes. Got a job on the second shift. And I know people, you know, that have worked that for years, got adjusted to that. But I, as a young Christian, it was destroying me. I'd go to church and I'd feel like I wasn't part. I feel the Lord right here. Like some of you children sometimes. And, you know, it's easy to do. It's easy to do when young people have cliques and groups. And, you know, really, that's not the Spirit of Christ at all. Not at all. And you know, and I know you're not supposed to, you know, I know you'll have likes, your personalities will click with somebody else better than somebody else. But you ought to never isolate anybody. And sometimes people don't purposely isolate someone. It's someone's introverted ways themselves. They stay aloof and off. And really, that's not good. Are y'all listening? Am I making any sense? You see, that's why Christ's church is a body. All members different and particular and peculiar, but they're all the same body. Like a finger and an ear and so on. But I want to tell you, you know, it's a tactic of the devil when you come to church and feel like a lone ranger. Huh? That's just the devil. Nobody down there loves me. That's not true. I'm here. I love you. And I guarantee you somebody else here does. Robert Dill wouldn't have sung his lungs out for the last 20 years if he didn't love you. Now come on. Don't let the devil tell you nobody loves you. I tell you, the grumpiest, hatefulest old thing here loves you. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? The devil is a liar. And I want to ask him, has he ever told you that, Brother Zane? Nobody loves you. Has he ever told you that, Sister Loretta? Right here in this church and all these people here, and you say, I'm a dying, nobody cares. Has he ever told you that? He's a liar. He's a liar. But you know why he does that? If he can isolate you, if he can run you, Amanda, if he can just shoo you off into the wilderness by yourself. But you see, Elijah was down, but he wasn't out. Praise God. And I don't know that it was God's will for him. It wasn't God's will for him to go over. See, he begged God to let him die, and God said, I'll show you, you'll never die. Huh? He ain't dead yet. He may die later on. I don't know. He may get his wish after a while. But God said, let me die, God. And God said, okay, and he cranked that guy up for thousands of more years. Huh? He's still going. Can you see? Lord. But the devil will get on you, Brother Charlie, I don't know how many times he's told you since that Easter morning, you ain't going to make it through the night. Huh? You ain't going to make it through another Easter. You ain't. He's a liar, ain't he? Huh? He's a liar. But I'm going to tell you, I'm getting to my message right here. You see, Elijah got fearful of Jezebel. And I want to tell you, that spirit is not easily handled. Brother, it is the spirit of hell. And it is hard to cope with. Are you listening to me? Amen. Because it appeals to the flesh. Amen. And the world. Amen. And the devil, all three. And it's hard to overcome. Are you listening to me? And some people don't overcome them. But brother, you can. Hallelujah. And could I tell you, Elijah, amen, was laying there. And here's the part that I love. And that we're dependent on more than anything else. When he laid there, wanting to die, an angel of the Lord, heaven invaded earth. You know why we ain't getting this? Cause these pews are oak, and we're flat. It sounded like oak there too. Quit laughing. I want to tell you, we're so human. We come to church, walk on carpet, and we forget that there is a supernatural presence. Huh? The Bible tells us that God feels the whole earth. Didn't it? You wonder how God can be here and there at the same time, but he's that big. Huh? It don't have to be more than one of him if he's bigger than everything. You ain't getting this, are you? Is that too big for you to think about? Hey, when the earth is his footstool, amen, where's his head? Huh? Y'all listen to me preach? Amen, Elijah fell asleep. Brother, that's where the church is. It's fell asleep. It's discouraged. It's under the juniper tree. It's isolated. There's no fellowship. He's out here by himself. It's down asleep. He's not getting nothing done. Amen. He's lying there. But brother, here's the grace of God. Amen. God wants Elijah to get over to Mount Horeb. He wants to talk to him. Are you listening to me? Amen. And so the angel of the Lord, amen, spoke to him. And I love this. Now look, how many knows God's a cook? Huh? He cooked all through the Bible, didn't he? How about the manna? How long did that last? That heavenly manna. Y'all getting anything out of this yet? Sister Hildred, I'm preaching to myself. You know I am. I see you sitting there looking. He could use this himself. I know. I'm trying my best to get this. How many knows that it was manna? Little wafer-like. Little vanilla wafer-like. I mean, every meal would get, you know, they got tired of it, 40 years of it. But it was sustaining grace. Every morning they got up. They had to have some quail. They ate it till it came out their nostrils. What the Bible said. Huh? I want to tell you this. God is a great cook. How many remembers, praise God, the way that he fed with the ravens down by the brook Cherith? Huh? Y'all still here? How many remembers when he came in the flesh? How many remembers when they'd fished all night and was wore and tired and wore out and thought the end of the world, and they looked over on the shore and there's somebody over there grilling fish on the fire, motioning, come and get it. Huh? Peter stood up and John looked over there and they said, who in the world? And John said, it's the Lord. And Peter dived in, kaboosh, overboard, man overboard. Bread and fish on the fire. He's a cook, I'm telling you. And I'm going to tell you something. We can't get there. We can't do it. How many's figured out we can't do it? How many figures out we're going to fall short? We're too weak. We can't get it done. But how many knows that his grace is sufficient for thee? Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. But notice what he said. Notice what the angel said. He said, arise and eat. Now, here's the part I want to preach about tonight. I just about looked up for help for Brother Mike. He ain't there. I'm used to doing that, you know. I'm just about ready to make a point that he would agree with, and I was getting ready to go over there. But I'm going to tell you something. Praise God. I don't know why I'm preaching to Amanda tonight. I'm going to preach to you a little more. Fine, we'll find out later on about this. I'll tell you, Daddy can bring you to church, honey. Can he? Huh? And he's done it faithfully for, how old are you? 19 years. But you know what, this young lady, if she hadn't have ate when she got here, she wouldn't be here tonight. I don't know, Brother Robert, you may have a stronger hand. My kids, by the time they got 19, they was out of my hands. I could fuss and growl and make faces and jump up and down. It didn't help a bit if they didn't want to. I'm telling you, if they didn't have a mind to, you just look at my kids, that's some of the stubbornest bunch I've ever seen in my life, just like their daddy and their mommy. That's right, ain't it? Huh? Come on now. And I'm going to tell you. Did you say they're Aunt Marilyn? I didn't know if I hear that. Hallelujah. Woo! You know who they're like? They're like Adam and Eve. And here's the deal. And I want to tell you right now. Some of you young folks, amen, are growing. You're either going to grow toward the Lord. You ain't got everything you need right now. You understand what I said? You say, well, you do, preacher. Huh? I got a lot more than some of you do, but I ain't got all I need. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you this right now. You ain't got what you need. You need to keep growing in the Lord. Amen. And we can't give up on them. Are you listening to me? They may not be as sweet as honey now, and they may not be as thoughtful, and they may not be as, amen, unselfish as we like, but if we can keep them praying in the order of prayer, they may make some of the sweetest, amen, most steadfast, amen, saints of God you've ever seen. You say, well, I know one been saved 50 years and meaner than a snake, but they ain't all like that, hallelujah. Some of them get sweeter as the days go by, hallelujah. He got him out there. Children, I don't know why I'm preaching to you kids today. Listen to me. He got you out there. He's scared you. He's wooled you. He's run you into the wilderness, and you're under a juniper tree. But God intervenes with heavenly bread, meat. Get up and eat. Arise. Get up. You'll get down. Don't you let nobody tell you that it's the end of the world when you get down. You will get down. I'm not a prophet of God, but I know enough to know you're going to get down. And it's no final. You hear me? Failure don't have to be final. And you get down, I want you to hear the angel of the Lord say, get up! And I don't know what, it don't say what God cooked, did it? It wasn't anything they killed down here. Because they ate that food, two little meals, and it lasted them. Boy, I don't know, I've seen this guy go at it. He got all his muscles and this. His body, it'd take something to keep him going 40 days, honey. You hear me? Cornflakes. Four. It'd take more than cornflakes, wouldn't it, bud? I'm going to tell you, God would have to do the cooking. Brother Steve, you might be saying tonight, how in the world am I going to get through this? I'm going to tell you right now how you're going to do it. It ain't going to be nothing I can do or Noah can do or Annis can do or Carla can do. It's going to be the eating you do. Come on now. It's going to be in what you eat, Tara. You listening to me? When you go to church, I love these children. Y'all look so cute. Am I embarrassing you? Is that red color coming out on you? It matches your orange fairly well. Huh? I just love you girls. But you know, in order to make it, it's more than how you look. You ain't going to make it on hairspray and high heels. I mean, you know, that probably helps some, I guess, some way, you know. Helps the economy, you know. But you ain't going to make it to heaven on that. You got to eat. You got to get up when the altar call is made. You got to get up and go eat what God has gave you to eat. And you know, Brother Mac, what I noticed about that is after he got up and ate, I guess his feel, and ate what he thought in his mind was enough to do me, the angel went over again, Tyler, and he said, get up. Eat again. Well, just eat. We just had revival. Just had youth camp. Just had vacation Bible school. And I've done got all I need. I was going to go swimming and fishing. And he said, get up. Eat again. And that's when he said, for the way is too great for you. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, I know I can't handle what's been delivered to me. I can't do it. 2 years, August the 28th. And Brother Mac, I guess I have said, how many days is that? Every day. I ain't going to make it if you don't help me. But you know he has? Huh? Now I'm working on tomorrow already. But I'm going to tell you this. And brothers, I really believe this is where we lose is when we get to thinking. Okay, Lord, turn me loose. I can do it. It's like teaching your child on training wheels, and you've held them in the back all in months, and then they say, "Okay, turn me loose, turn me loose, turn me loose," and you know they're not ready. Oh, get me!
Yeah, save me. I'm
saying. Huh? But I tell you what, I have learned. I can't do it. I just want to feel his hand. Huh? I don't care. I'll stand tall. I got to go to St. Louis next week. And God, y'all pray for me. I got to preach a camp meeting. God have mercy. I have got to feel that hand. I ain't going if I don't. Huh? I can't stay. If I go, Brother Robert, I'll have to call you to come and get me if I can't feel that hand. I can't do it. Y'all don't understand it. You children, you got the world by the tail, you think. You really got it by the teeth. And it'll bite you if you're not careful. You've got to feel that. And you sometimes, and I don't know why I'm preaching this way other than the Lord's telling me to, but you come to church sometime and it's only a social activity. That's not what it's for. You've got to eat when you get here. My heart is breaking for you. I don't know why. My heart is going out. When you come, you've got to feel God. You can't let these ghosts and demons of isolation and discouragement and fear of Jezebel. You can't allow that, the fear. And I'm telling you, it is a fearful thing. It is bigger than us. We cannot take the devil on in this hour. We can't face the Antichrist spirit. But I'll tell you what we can do. We can go out, amen, and let God touch us. Are you listening to me? What'd he do? He got up that second time and he ate. Brother, we need a revival. You children have grown up in here. Some of you are here. My children are here. Amen. They grew up in this church. Got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in this church. Becky wasn't but 6 or 7 years old back there in the corner when you first, Becky felt the touch of the Holy Ghost on you. Becca was back there and Amanda was back there. You remember that night years ago. What's it been? 10 years ago or more than that? It's been 12 or 14 years ago, we had revivals. When revival came, amen, those that were hungry and innocent in their heart got the Holy Ghost. And now it's like pulling teeth. And now we pray to where everybody loses interest and they still don't get the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, we've got to have a revival where people get up and instead of wanting the world and the prosperity of this world, they want the Word of God and the power of God and the sanctity of God. Amen. In their lives. Amen. It's there for you. God's saying, get up and eat. You're not going to make it if you don't eat. Not gonna make it. If you will, you'll make it. If you don't, you won't. Go to Jerusalem. Stay right there until you get the Holy Ghost. And I've mentioned this to you before. I felt like I got an insight on that. I used to think he wanted them to go up there, get the Holy Ghost because they were so fearful and afraid. But they weren't. They weren't. After the resurrection, they'd seen the Lord 40 days and nights. Brother, they were fired up. They'd come out of the closet. They was on the Mount of Olives. The Bible said they were, after that, that they were daily in the temple, worshiping, praising God. They weren't holed up somewhere. Brother, they were ready to go, but God said, I don't want you to go till you're endued with power from on high. And you know what they did? They went to that upper room, and they stayed there until they had ate the meal God had promised. Here we are, a Pentecostal church. How many Pentecostal people do we have in a Pentecostal church? Here we are, holiness-believing people. How many holiness people do we have in the holiness church? And it's not all external. It's very little external. It's like the tip of an iceberg. Most of it is internal. The fruit of the Spirit. You read the fruit of the Spirit. Are you listening to me? They are internal things. Love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness and kindness and meekness. Huh? Brother, it's here. Brother Jeremy, a young preacher. I didn't even know you was a preacher till you come up here. Well, I don't even know I'm a preacher half the time. So that's no big deal. But brother, there's still an anointing for you. Y'all quiet. Y'all quiet. Children, Brother Tim, bless your heart, the work you're doing. I'm telling you, on Sunday evenings, I am not in the mood to practice choir. I don't see how you do it. You're not either, are you? You force it, you push, you go, you sacrifice. How many know it is a sacrifice to practice with a bunch of kids? And if you've ever went to one or ever tried to practice to get a kid to do anything at all, kids are like wheelbarrows that you can't get nothing out of unless you push them around. That's the only way they're any good. You just have to push them everywhere you go. Huh? And then they just got that one wheel and you turn them loose and they fall over and dump everything out. Ain't that right? You laughed at me too, didn't you? Because I got tongue-tied on that song. I can never quit laughing, carnal spirits. We can make it if we'll do what God said do. Sometimes you look at the divorce rate. I'll tell you what, this last one, I'll kill you. You better stay tied. I ain't into this. Tommy, with times are tight, it'll choke them. Huh? Tie that square knot. I'm going about 50-50. About half the people I'm married is divorced. And I've just about quit. Folks call me, you marry me? I say, how serious are you about it? That's right. You don't need it. Come on now. But I'm going to tell you, look at divorce and break up and cheat. But I'm going to tell you there's still a way. Are you listening to me? There's still a way. And I'm going to tell you something right now. If you young ladies get so hard up for a man that you'll get some old two-horned devil to marry, you are a fool. I hope I didn't say it too strong, but that's exactly right. You're not that desperate. How many knows it's a lot better off to be unmarried wishing you were married than married wishing you were not married? Well, I just don't know, but I'm going to tell you something right now. Amen. If it's somebody, and I can say a girl also, if it ain't somebody devoted to God and you know they're not and you marry them, you are marrying out of God's will and you are in for heartache city. And you ain't had no hurt till you get your heart broke. Well, it's quiet, but it's a true thing. We need to come to church and eat, or we're not going to make it. We come to church, I tell you, every church has had troubles, and it's an abomination. It is for people to get out of sorts at church. Huh? It's an abomination. With an altar up there and a Bible. Huh? And people come to church and get at odds sitting on the same pew together. I think we're pretty safe here tonight. But, huh? But Sister Athamae, it'll not be. That's like two Christian people in a household filing for divorce. That's the craziest thing I ever heard of. That's against the rules. Well, I've preached too long, ain't I? Boy, I'm about to get on it. I told Brother Steve the other Sunday I was going to preach on there's only two kinds of women that don't know when they're immodest, and that's those that are mentally ill. Huh? And those that are lying about it. I mentioned that Sunday morning. He asked me if I'd ever preached that. I said, well, I had to go ahead and let it out Sunday morning. And I said, I heard all the ladies say amen. We are in a crisis in this world. Jezebel's on the throne, but how many know she didn't stay there long? And Jezebel's on the throne in America today, Hollywood. Huh? Soap operas. Dirty movies. Huh? I tell you what, when somebody like Bill Clinton can be the president of the United States, whoop, tuss now. Sit down. I tell you, we are in trouble. And don't look now, but Hillary's on her way. And that's the only thing I could think of would be worse. And I know I'm not political. I'm not, because they change colors so fast you don't know who's what anyway. I'm going to tell you, we are in a sick society. And you know how a preacher feels sometimes? You say a preacher feels like thumping the desk. No, sometimes they feel like running into the wilderness and finding a juniper tree. But I'm going to tell you, God's got a plan. And His plan will be fulfilled. And I want to be with the program, don't you? Huh? So the angel of the Lord said, rise and eat. In my closing remarks tonight, I want to tell you young folks, I've preached to you tonight. I've preached to all of you. But I've preached to you. I want you to know. You come to church. I don't more make you a Christian than putting a rooster in a doghouse makes him a dog. You don't do it. When the altar call is made, when the worship, and I think our kids do great, don't you? They get up there to worship the Lord, and right now God's give you grace, Brother Tim. I know it ain't always been this way. But right now, the anointing come. It came tonight. I felt the anointing come in there tonight. It made me feel better, didn't you? I'm going to tell you, when you get here, don't sit back. You get in it. You get into it. Dive in. Head first. Dive in. Get close. Learn to pray. I remember telling Amanda when she was hitting adulthood life before she got married. She's getting older, and she was having struggles and troubles, and I wish I could have helped her. And I was downstairs, creaking the old floor down there, and she was upstairs, creaking the floor up there. And I was praying for something to tell her that would help her and give her some wisdom and counsel and advice. This Lord, and I never was good at advice. I'm afraid they'd take it and it's wrong, and we'd both be in trouble. And I was down there praying and walking the floor, and I finally went up, knocked on her door, and she was crying and trying to get her things straight. And I just sat on the bed, and I know it don't sound like much at all, but the only thing I felt God told me to tell her was, I just said, honey, I'm going to tell you what I feel like the Lord said. I said, anytime that I ever was in a crisis and needed God, He was always there. So just take it to Him. You say, well, that's simple. Then why aren't you doing it? Take it to Him. Brother Charlie, I don't know, through the years, if you've been there, and you have to learn, God will help you. Take it to Him. Oh, it helps to call a friend and share it up. And you know, and you children are in a dark world, and I know you are. And you young men are in a crisis time, and it might come down to where you feel like you have to leave this country to get a job or whatever. But just let me say this: you'd be better off not able to buy a pair of shoes and saved than you would prosperous and lost. I believe that. Let's stand. Oh, I tried to preach to you. I hope I helped you. Well, I need to help you because the journey's too great for us. They got to be something here, Sister Jennifer. It's got to be something here for you to eat when you come. And I feel that responsibility for your family, buddy. I know it. It's got to be here for them. And we've got to pray and seek the Lord. Poor Brother Mike over there. I felt sorry for that guy. He was wanting to bolt and run so bad, and they had him tied down every which way. Thought of different ones. Thought of different ones tonight. All the elder folks that are shut up, that hardly ever gets a visit or, you know. Oh, Lord. One of these days I may just preach on, I'll take a whole text on the failures of Randy Webb and then next night take yours. You don't have to worry about it because the time I got done with mine, you'd be so old you wouldn't even hear me. But it's a serious business. It's a serious business. Well, I'm done. Anybody feel like saying anything? Anybody want to add anything or take anything away from this message? God bless you. Go right ahead.